this country has shown a lot to me, you know, being here like all these 19 years, you know, and you can do whatever you want, you know, if you put your mind to it. And just, you know, I'm proud to have, a last name from a, foreign country, as a lawn care company.
You might notice that the sweatshirt I'm wearing says Gomez Lawn Care, and while this episode is not sponsored by them, it is my great honor to be speaking to the owner and founder of Gomez Lawn Care, and that is none other than Luis Gomez himself. Luis, hey, thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's an honor being on the show, and just can't wait.
Right on, man. Hey, it's been a long time coming, to be honest with you. People have recommended I have you on for quite a while now. I've done some business with you, made some commercials, and you really do great work. And just for anyone who's curious, how old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
20 years old. How old is Gomez Lawn Care then?
We're at 4 years going into next season, so.
You started it at 16 then?
Yeah. Somewhere right around there, yeah. That's when we established the company name and stuff. So,
okay, wow. Well, before we move on, tell everyone, what is Gomez Lawn Care? What do you guys do? What are you about?
Gomez Lawn Care is a lawn care company that mostly mows and does a good amount of landscape, like mulching. There's a lot of service.
Now you get it is lawn care service.
Yeah.
It's a lawn care service. Yeah. It's so interesting because I asked you, are you 21 yet? Because I know you're more of a reserved guy. Yeah. I don't know if you're shy. Maybe you can tell us if you're shy, but I was going to offer you a beer to loosen you up a little bit. But yeah, so you're only 20 years old. Are you a shy guy?
I mean, once we break in the words, we can kind of keep it going. But yeah,
okay,
for the most part, I'm really reserved. Just don't really, just kind of focus on what I need to get done and do and kind of go from there. So
where do you think you got your work ethic from? Because it's very true. I see you work these incredibly long hours. I'll ask about when you get up and when you finish a typical day here in a second. But where do you get your work ethic from?
My dad. That's all he showed me how to work when I was, eight or nine. He'd take me up to his work, and on some Saturdays, he'd let me slap on some labels up to the boxes. They work for like a meat packaging place. So I'd slap those on there, and kind of ever since then, just being outside has just really, a lot of opportunity has just gone from just that little, Saturday, half day work to just working, 12 hours a day most of the days. Starting like 5 o'clock in the morning, getting up and just kind of rolling, rolling the trucks out like 5:30, starting mowing and just kind of getting the whole bread and butter just, through the week and just flowing through. So,
man, dude, most kids your age, I shouldn't call you a kid, you're a grown man, you're an adult, are playing video games or maybe they're in college and maybe they just have to go to class, they'll get a lunch prepared for them, but you're out there making money, doing it the hard way, getting up early, and you're running your own business and have been for 4 years now. It's really incredible. Yeah. Before we dive into that, where do you come from?
So I was actually, not many people know, but some do, I was actually born in Mexico. It's a city now, Nuevo Laredo. It's a border town across Laredo, Texas. And just came over at the age of like one or so, and just been here residing and just been living in the area for, ever since I was one, so 19 years. Mm-hmm. And I lived in the Prairie Central District all my life. Never changed schools or nothing, but we've moved a couple towns here and there, and that kind of made the business go as a, in a struggle. But now we're in the area, and we've been here. So,
why'd your parents move here in the first place?
Better life. I'm not too sure. I was just young little boy, one. So, but they made a right choice to make their way over here, and it's just exciting, kind of making a name for it, you know, the Gomez part of it, you know, over here in a small town that, you know, one day we want to serve a good area. But it's just really comforting and just something to be proud of.
So you've never asked your parents, like, directly, why'd you guys come over here?
Not really.
I'm not surprised, you know, because we're both Mexican guys, right? Yeah. And it's a strange thing in the older generations mm-hmm. in Mexican culture. It's like you just didn't have those deep talks. Like, yeah. Mom, Dad, tell me about your life growing up. My dad, I've asked him so many times about his parents who are full Mexican, straight. Well, my grandma was from Mexico. And he said, I don't know much of anything. We just never talked about it.
Yeah.
And so that's really interesting. I'm not surprised maybe that you haven't talked to your parents about that. Just curious, I assume they speak fluent Spanish, both of them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do they speak English now?
Yeah, for the most part, my dad, he has his struggles. I mean, any foreign speaker, you know, if it's not your prime language of English, it can be hard. But here has gone like 5 years back. My mom couldn't really speak, you know, a good conversation, and it's just the same way for my dad. He's been here since 15 or so. So it's been, you know, he's had his struggles not being able to communicate at times and stuff. And so, but here we are.
How does he feel about that, do you think? Or how does that make you feel? Is it, well, I'll just let you answer that. When he struggles with communicating and speaking English.
So like when we were young, you know, me being only kid, I'd always have to like, you know, at the parent-teacher conferences, we'd always have to, you know, I'd have to interpret it, you know, to my parents one way or another. And, you know, for a couple of years, you know, when you're growing and stuff, you kind of get that point where, you know, it's kind of, you kind of get embarrassed and stuff. But, you know, I kind of grew out of that. And, you know, it's a problem that I can see that if I can actually just do that for them, you know, be able to just have a simple conversation with somebody instead of them trying to communicate, I'll try my best and just relay the message. So
Now how big is your family?
So with us, it's I got two younger sisters, and so it's five of us, my grandpa, and we got three uncles, or two uncles, it's three brothers in total here.
No, they don't all live in the same house, do they?
No, we live in the same town. We're actually a couple blocks from each other. So.
Okay. Are they all from Mexico?
Yeah.
Wow, the whole family came over, the Gomez clan.
Yep.
Wow, okay.
So.
Now, who was involved in starting Gomez Lawn Care? It wasn't all you, was it, at 16, or was it mostly all you?
It was mostly me. my girlfriend, Madison Bell, she's been with me for the journey. Just kind of thinking of like, what should we name the company? And, you know, she's the one that pushed me towards, you know, going and doing what I wanted to do most. And so.
How long have you two been together?
It's just
been, you should know this.
3 years this year, in August, or no, that's, June.
Did you better apologize to
her? Yeah.
Here, she's right here on the camera. Sorry, baby. Okay, so she wasn't there at the inception of the whole idea, but she was there when it really started getting going then.
So when the company, like, put the name and everything, that's she was right there. And it's been something else. Just when we first started, I mean, we don't have the same equipment that we, you know, what we started with, and it's come a long ways. I mean, little S10 truck that she'd rather, you know, want me to have right now, you know, learning how to push mow, the zero turns, and I mean she's learned it all now. So
she's like your number one worker then. She works right alongside you.
Yeah.
Okay, like all the time?
Most of the time. I mean, she's working a full-time job now, so it's like as the years have progressed from the beginning, it's been a little bit harder, but as much as she can help, she helps as much as she can.
Okay, how did you get started? What, maybe before that, why did you decide to start doing this landscaping, this lawn care business?
So it's kind of gone from like before I could drive. I would say the story I'd stick with would be Dad's buddy. He actually had me pushmo, and I couldn't even drive at the time. And so one way or another, I'd have to go into town. We used to live out in Strawn, so I mean that's 7 miles. You know, just trying not being able to drive for you know $20 or so just to mow. And it just became something that, you know, it was such an easy job for me to just go and do. And that was just something to be proud of, you know, just getting it knocked out pretty quick. And, you know, just that good feeling. I just have that work ethic to make everything look nice. And I mean, that's to me, that's where it's kind of gone from. So
mowing your dad's buddy's property, mm-hmm. kind of just ignited something in you.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
yeah.
I did this thing. I did a good job and I got paid for it.
Yeah.
And it was just for some reason fun.
Yeah.
Do you like this, what you do? Do you like landscaping, lawn care and all that? It's not really landscaping. It's mostly lawn care and a variety of things that encapsulates, I guess.
For the most part, I mean, I like the actual work. Landscaping, I'm still, you know, debating whether we should continue that on just because, you know, time and stuff, and you just got to know a lot of stuff, and that's just kind of, but I enjoy, you know, hopping on the mower, you know, going on to the next house, you know, the string trimming part. I know some of the people that help me now, you know, they don't enjoy everything, but I mean, I enjoy it all, from being out in the snow when it's, you know, like last year having like 2 feet of snow, you know, that was a struggle for us, but we made it happen. And I just like being outside, so it's just, as long as I have, you know, the energy in me, I can finish off the day.
So you start, like, getting in this zone of, hey, let's keep working, let's keep working, then you start getting rolling, and then at the end of the day, you're exhausted, and that feels good?
Well, yeah, for the most part. I mean, most of the time, by the time I get home, you're looking at, like, 9:30, 10 o'clock. So it's, you know, it's tiring just trying to, you know, do a lot, but it's, you know, the time just keeps ticking. So it's like a bomb, you know.
The tractor cab is the mission control of the entire farming operation. Worn out and outdated tractor cabs lead to annoying discomfort, hindered productivity, dangerous sound levels, and lower resale value. This is why you need to revive your tractor cab with Fair Cab Interiors. Today, we use our vast facility in the cornfields of Illinois to manufacture high-quality custom tractor upholstery for over 750 models from the 1960s all the way through to the 2010s. Our team of product engineers carefully design each new part, emphasizing product fit and ease of installation for anyone to install. We offer acoustical foam panels, ProForm plastic panels, headliners, floor mats, door and window seals, seats, and much more. We carefully monitor lamination quality, use premium grade foam, and utilize the highest standards of raw materials when manufacturing. With our massive inventory and delivery trucks that pick up daily, logistics are a snap. Our call center is manned not by robot answering machines, but real, experienced, and knowledgeable people who will provide you with installation tips, product details, and help with any questions you may have before or after the sale. But don't just take our word for all this. See what people are saying on faircab.com and Google reviews, where we've earned over 2,000 five-star reviews.
When the time comes to fix up your aging tractor interior, try out the cab interior experts at Fair Cab. Visit us at faircab.com or give us a call at 815-692-3355.
What did the beginnings of your business look like? Was it just a kid pulling in his crummy little car or something, a trailer with one mower in it?
So it was more of, as like when I got my license, I had a truck before I could drive, and I kind of worked towards that. And so I had this like little S10 truck, and I remember like going to, I played sports like freshman and sophomore year. Not good at anything, you know, but I just wanted to do something. And I remember like taking the, like a push mower, we had like a 22-inch Toro, and I just put it, you know, in the back of the truck, and I didn't really have much, you know, to start with, but that little S10 with that little push mower, and just making a Facebook post on my personal page, you know, it got me a good solid 5 people, and, you know, I just want to keep that going. So that would have been, my sophomore year, you know, getting the permit and stuff, to junior year kind of rolling right in. And my uncle from Wisconsin, he actually gave me some pieces of equipment, and that really helped me, you know, be in a solid spot. We've had to upgrade, you know, quickly, as, you know, none of this stuff is like new and stuff. I remember having like a sweeper, just to get
a sweeper.
Yeah. Just, you know,
what do you mean a sweeper?
Just a
bowl. Broom?
Yeah. A broom, you know, just okay. to, you know, oh. get the clippings off, you know, and stuff like that. And Dad had like a weed whacker, like Craftsman. I mean, it felt so good getting that first, you know, trimmer, when I could just buy it and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's been an evolution with the business overall, you know, in the 4 years or so.
When you said permit, did you mean like your driving permit?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. Were there any legal hoops you've had to jump through so far? Because you're a much more established large business now. You have a giant, you have a nice truck, you have a giant trailer that pulls all sorts of equipment. I was amazed when I jumped on site to film a commercial for you.
Yeah.
All the stuff you have, this massive zero-turn mower, these weed whackers, just rows and rows of these things. Have you had to jump through some legal hoops? Have you had to become a certain kind of business entity or what?
So I, like, for my first couple of years, I really didn't run. I just kind of just labeled my name, you know, as going as lawn care, but nothing, you know. But as soon as I, you know, was going to graduate, before I turned 18, I did want to, you know, legalize everything. We still have another step before we can actually, you know, be like a legit, you know, like LLC, the next structure. But that's kind of where we are. So,
okay. So are you a formally established business of some sort, like a sole proprietorship?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Got it. Yeah. So. Sole proprietorship is probably the way to go in my humble opinion. Yep. What do I know? But I know a little something. So,
yeah.
So what's it been like for you to watch this business grow from a kid with a small truck and a push mower to what it is today? You're hiring people to help you do a number of lawns all day long. You've got the incredible zero-turn mower. You got a sweet new truck. You've got the giant trailer. Your name is out there. Your signs are in all these yards in Central Illinois. What's that been like for you?
I mean, every year, you know, as the year, you know, the season goes on, like I said, it's been an evolution. Just every year we're always upgrading and we're always changing things, because as you know, as more efficient as you can be, especially in the lawn care industry, I mean, it makes it a big tremendous just overall just change. Because if it's taking you a lot longer to do something and you can find a way to do it faster, then you could probably knock out as much more, you know, jobs and stuff. So
how have you managed to make your systems and practices more efficient, and how has that helped you?
Like I said, upgrading the equipment, that, you know, the right equipment, it's always, you know, you might as well get, you know, the best of the best that you can get, because it's overall, you're struggling if you don't have, you know, the right piece of equipment. Or like for us, we've been managing, you know, bigger stuff than what we did at all, like the last couple of years. And if it wasn't for having as many pieces of equipment, like string trimmers and mowers, we would not be able to, you know, go ahead and just go and do those. So
what area of land do you service?
We are in the Livingston County, and we only really do like 90% of the work. Forest, Fairbury, Chatsworth, and Chenoa. So it's a small, you know, small circle, but we're able to, you know, go in a good radius, and it's efficient. So
you think you dominate that area? Is that what you said? You said something about 90%? Do you mean like of the lawns that are getting serviced by people like you, you're doing 90% of them when it comes to Chenoa, Fairbury, Forest?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
I like that. No, be cocky. That's good. I shouldn't say cocky. Be confident. I like it.
But no, that's like our area that we just service, you know. And the farther out you can go, it has to be worth it. But, you know, in the smaller communities, it's crazy just being able to grow in Fairbury. You know, we live in Forest now, and I only had one place I mowed. Now we got like 7, 10 of those. I mean, it makes a big difference once you get established in one area. The word just keeps going on and on.
When you say that you have 7 places to mow in Forest alone, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean you agree with them, you sign a contract or something, that you will come every week and mow the same property every single week?
So for us, we are like no contracts, just because for that same reason, we don't know as much for like the season. Like, we haven't been in the seasons as much, but I've been always like looking, you know, typical, like, what did we mow last year? What did we mow, you know, the year before? So then just being like, for me, I hate being in subscriptions. So I'd rather not have to, you know, sign a contract. 'Cause like, if something doesn't work out, then we aren't like tied into, you know, something that we have to get, you know, an attorney for or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We do like commercial work, and that, like, all that stuff is just, you know, sign and stuff. So for just legal reasons, you know, just you want to be on the same page.
Do people pay you before or after you mow their lawns?
After. So it's sometimes it works out, sometimes it's, you know, it's a wait, but I mean, from the beginning, it's been the same way. So
how do they pay you? Do they mail you a check? Because I would imagine you mow a massive lawn, right? You knock on the door, no one's home.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. So for us, we actually got a system in place this over winter. We started working on like getting all our clients that we had on the other CRM and put it, you know, all on this one. We've actually been able to do a bunch of just online payments. I would say like 75% just pay like right on there, and then the rest just like send checks. So it's you know, instead of doing like the Venmo thing and stuff like that mm-hmm. I see some other companies do, it's just too much to track, you know. So mm-hmm. it's
right, the website, it's all right there on the back end. You can just look at all the payments yep. made by who, when yep. it happened. Yep. And they do normally pay right after you mow, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we give them, you know, like net 7, net 30, like just depending.
What does that mean, net?
So, like, once we issue the bill, they have, like, so many days to, you know, pay it. They can do it between there or up to that date. And if for whatever reason, you know, it becomes in, like, a holiday, you know, it might go past due, and we just you know, resend, you know, all that stuff back to them. But
okay, so for people that don't know, net 30 basically means you have 30 days to
yeah.
pay.
Yes.
After the deed is done, you have 30 days.
Yep.
What happens if they don't, and have they ever not paid?
We've had this year we've had a couple of customers, but and this was one of those things that I've learned that you just don't burn your head for those. If they're a huge job, like landscape jobs, we always like put a deposit for that, because we got to get material and stuff, you know. So everything else after that, it's kind of just, you know, per time. It's fair enough for us to, you know, bill you for 3 times that we actually came, then, you know, prepay for the season or something like that, and it doesn't, you know, you only came twice. So it's fair both ways.
Where do you learn your business practices from? Who's teaching you? Dave's Supermarket in Fairbury is my favorite grocery store, not just in Central Illinois, but in the world. And for good reason. They have the most incredible customer service, friendly carryout workers, an exquisite and affordable bakery where fresh baked goods are prepared daily, and a deli market that is truly top-notch, that provides plenty of seating, delicious food, and even free coffee, if you can believe that. And their canned meats are out of this world. This is all just the tip of the iceberg, though, so if you haven't been here, you are really missing out. Come check out Dave's Supermarket in Fairbury, Illinois, where they've been wowing the customer for 72 years.
I go a lot on YouTube and just look at the big guys from the industry that, you know, they just encourage everybody. And I've been to conferences, exposition. Just that's why I'm so like invested of reinvesting into my own, you know, company, because I've already been, you know, at the bottom, and I'd rather see that if all my guys are going to help me mow, we have good pieces of equipment, and they're not just, you know, breaking down. We can't get it started, you know, one way or another. So it's, this is gone the way it's gone. And
What would you recommend to young kids who want to be entrepreneurial? People from Prairie Central, we have a high entrepreneurial rate. I don't know what it is because we're not actually doing studies on it, but yeah, people can just look around and say there's a lot of people who have started successful businesses. Gomez Lawn Care, Emancipation Brewing Company, yeah, Knapp this or that. I mean, all these AC last names, they seem to really be good, yeah, at business. Yeah. And it's just a great community, yeah, for being entrepreneurial. However, the majority of business startups do fail within the first year.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to kids that are going to watch this and know you about how to better go about starting their businesses?
Just research like what you are interested in. Like for me, it was like kind of easy just to, you know, already doing it in high school. Like instead of going to college, why not like focus on this? Like I can make it go long term. Even if it fails, I can always go work for somebody else. I mean, even if it you know, if it didn't work out. But it's like I said, researching, seeing what you're interested in, and always have a backup plan, because if it does not work out, you have something else to rely on. And
right, take a risk while you're young. I think of life as a ladder, right? You're just climbing up the ladder. When you're 35, 30 years old, you have a family, and they're relying on you a lot. If you fall from that fifth rung on this ladder, it's going to hurt. There's a lot to lose. Yeah. But if you're just 20 years old, 18, 16 years old, no one's relying on you for anything.
Yeah.
Go try to start the business. And if you fall and fail miserably, yeah, heck, you might actually, nothing will happen. And then you have time to get back up and try again. You can, yeah, fall again. And then maybe it's the third time that it's going to all work out. But definitely take the risk. You have nothing to lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have nothing to lose.
I mean, overall, it's, you have, I mean, and we're not perfect. You know, there's things that we're still trying to work on, you know, for next year, next season. You know, just trying to communicate. I'm the one that's, you know, out there working. I'm the one that has a phone. We're just trying to establish something that, you know, somebody can answer the phone and stuff like that. Because, you know, that's one way that you can lose a lot of business, not being able to communicate. And, you know, like I said, it's a struggle, you know, just being that one guy that can, that does it all, you know, and just being up so early, being, you know, done so late, you almost have like no time to really sit there and, but we try to use as much of the day, especially when it rains, to like do all that stuff and, you know, invoice. So we're actually out there working when we need to be, you know, on a nice sunny day.
I feel like a problem that you might run into with your incredible work ethic is believing that you can do just about everything.
Yeah.
Has that been a problem for you at all? Because it sounds like if you could just hire someone, even if it's part-time, to take the phone calls, make the invoices, it would be a beautiful thing. I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think it's just not the right time for that? And do you think your work ethic might lead you into that trap of thinking that you can do everything? Or do, yeah, I sound like I'm speaking baloney here?
So, I mean, it's I've been realizing a lot of stuff. You know, as you grow older, you know, the more stuff that you have on your plate, it kind of, it goes out of hand, you know, at some point. You know, for us, right in the summer, you know, June, July, that's where everybody's calling, you know, for this or that. And it can be a struggle, but at the same time, you got to see as where I can be if that's already managed, you know, like the answering the calls, because then we can actually schedule, you know, have a full schedule than just me, you know, writing it down. You know, and we'll get to them, you know, at some point, but that makes a big difference. And you can't do it all. I mean, if you want to be a small company, you know, you can do it by yourself. But once, if you're trying to be as big as you want, then you have to, you know, as many guys as we have now being five part-time, I mean, it helps when we can have a couple guys doing something and a couple guys being with me, because that just, we're knocking, you know, it might not be as fast if we were all together, you know, or, you know, everybody doing one house by themselves. So I think, like I said, we're changing everything as every year, every season goes by, we're changing something. And I'm hoping that we can have somebody, you know, take over, you know, the books and, you know, invest where, you know, as we're reinvesting the equipment, we want to reinvest, you know, the positions that there could be. I promote, you know, I love having kids high school, you know, they have a lot of energy, you know, in them. And that's kind of where we like being at. And
you like hiring high school kids.
Yes, yes.
They have a lot of energy and you can teach them some incredible life lessons. Yeah, yeah. The value of hard work that they would surely be participating in, working for you. I mean, that's paramount. That's a huge deal. That's incredibly important for them to experience, I would say.
We're very transparent on that part of, you know, when we hire, like, we're going to be working long hours, you know. We might not work one day just because if it rained and we already had everything, you know, like all the equipment, you know, all ready to go, like all the blades being sharpened and stuff, there's not much to do. But be ready that those days that we, you know, after the rain passes by, next couple of days, we'll be able to, you know, work those long hours because we got to make up for it. Mm-hmm. So it's...
You said that if you're a small business owner and you want to own a small business, you can do everything by yourself, but you're hiring help, which kind of shows me that you don't want to stay a super small business.
Yeah.
What is the overall goal? What is the vision for Gomez Lawn Care? And what does its future in 5 to 10 years look like?
Like you guys may know, you know, we start from that S10 to a 1500 to a 2500. I don't know how many trucks. I know that there's many companies up to like 500 employees. I don't know. But I know that in the next, you know, 5 years, we'd like to make our way down here to Bloomington and make a good, you know, Central Illinois side, you know, to serve as much as we can and have as many, you know, as much help. We know that I've understood that the lawn care industry has a lot of, you know, it's a seasonal thing. You know, so that, you know, if we get snow, you know, there's people that, you know, they don't work outside, and, you know, they might like to do something else. So there's always like layoffs for work and stuff like that. So I can see the opportunity coming out farther that we can actually get more people involved. And I love having my guys comfortable, you know, and, you know, my sister helps. And, you know, they're young, but I'm trying to, you know, show the work ethic that they can, you know, you can almost do anything you want. And as long as you stick your mind to it, mm-hmm. you can go as far as you want.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful and inspiring. How old's your sister?
I have two. She's going to be a freshman. I'm not too sure about age, but.
Okay. yeah. That's funny. No. Yeah, you're a man of. I don't know. I don't even know. But forget what I just said. So your sister's not even in high school yet. She's going to be in high school, and she's already working for you?
Yeah.
Wow, man. Good for you. If you're watching this, I'm sure she will. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Man, great things ahead for her.
Yeah.
So you didn't tell me. How big do you want to be? You want to get down here and stuff, but tell me more about the vision that you have for Gomez Lawn Care. What, when you close your eyes and think about Gomez Lawn Care, the storefront in the future, what does that building look like? Do you have a big Gomez sign? Is a slogan, high quality satisfaction, still going to be the slogan? How many people do you want working for you? What do you want your operations to look like?
My biggest vision is having a big shop somewhere. You know,
how big?
As big as it can be. I mean, as long as we have, you know, the equipment and that we can store most of it in there. Just being able to be at home now has helped us not, you know, to pay rent somewhere else. And we can keep most of the equipment, you know, right at hand. But overall, it'd be awesome to have at least 50 people. At some point, and if we can grow as big as we can, I mean, everybody taking a home, like a truck home and something like that, partnering up. We look up to other companies too as well, you know, like Edelman Electric, those guys, the Lands. I mean, they're scattered around. They have guys living in different places, but also, they serve a bunch of places. And the vision overall, just having the equipment, you know, 50 people would be, you know, an ideal. And that's, you know, that can be a lot too. But that, I think that'd be awesome, having a shop somewhere. I don't know if we want to do any like nursery, you know, having the plants and stuff there. That's something that we're kind of looking into, you know.
Just having a bunch of plants on site in case some people want them planted in their place.
Yep. Something like that. And as a, like when I said about coming down this way, having another shop down here too, just to keep the people that live around this area and I have to go all the way up there. Because we know a lot of people that live in Fairbury come, you know, work at some of these corporate jobs, you know, like State Farm and stuff like that. So we want to make that feel that they don't have to go so far out. And it's going to be a lot to handle, you know, for snow, leaves. It's a struggle, you know, like all the odd things, but the bread and butter and stuff is just the mowing, and that's more consistent. That's a little bit easier to work with, you know. You know, you get one chance with the snow to push it, and that's about, you know, all you can really do. So we got big things coming this up at the end of this year. So it's and we just can't wait for next year just to explode again. Just so every year we're changing. So it might look different, but it'll be for a good thing.
What big things are you talking about? Can you tell me?
Fairbury Furniture is Central Illinois' premier furniture store. This family-owned business offers a vast selection of premium furniture items from all of your favorite brands, including Sealy, Best Home Furnishings, Leather Italia, Tempur-Pedic, and Ashley, just to name a few. And right next door to their gorgeous 7,000-square-foot furniture showroom, you will find the Fairbury Furniture Mattress Store, home to all of the latest and greatest mattresses in any and all sizes. Also inside Fairbury Furniture is the popular WC Market, a beloved shop that offers an ever-changing selection of unique gifts and fashionable home decor. So make your home interior beautiful, comfortable, stylish, and delightful when you shop at Fairbury's own Fairbury Furniture.
Come on down to Fairbury Furniture, where the furniture rocks.
Overall, we're just going to be able to, you know, do more than what we can as of in the snow. So that's we got a post to put later this year before a snow falls. So
is it equipment related?
Equipment, yeah, okay. Yeah. You might be able to guess it, but
okay, yes. I can't. I mean, I don't know much. I'm guessing probably too much. You're very kind in actually answering my stuff, but okay, I'll stop asking. I'll let it be a surprise for people. But man, that's incredible. You want to start coming into the Bloomington area, mm-hmm. You said. Are you – what do I want to ask here? I want to ask if demand is there, if people continue to ask you for your lawn service, at what point do you start saying, this is a lot, I don't know if we can handle the quantity, we're going to start upping our rates? I'm sure you have upped your rates over time. Yeah. How do you determine whether or not to up them, how much to up them, how do you balance all that? Because I'm sure you don't want to say, I don't want you guys. You want as high numbers. You want demand to be huge.
Yeah.
And you don't want to seem too greedy and be considered the pricey people.
Yeah.
How do you navigate all that?
So like this past winter, I sat down and actually ran like where I could budget. You know, kind of seeing where we need to be to actually cover all our costs, you know, and that actually had all like the lawn care equipment, you know, because at some point you have to get another mower, you have to replace that mower. Like weed eaters, they can go for a while until, you know, so just trying to keep all that aligned helps the longevity of actually being you know, consistent. And us being so fresh, we don't, like, we know what the, you know, the market prices are, but as long as, like, for us, we know we're doing a good job. And a lot of people see that we do a lot of the smaller jobs that the big guys, you know, aren't wanting to do because it's too small, or, you know, everybody's always chasing something else, something bigger. So for us, something's bigger that one of the bigger guys didn't want to do. I mean, that can change, you know, a lot.
I remember when I was with you filming you, you had the smallest strip of grass that someone hires you to come and mow weekly.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I'm like, it was like the size of this table.
Yeah.
Maybe smaller. And you just mow that. And curious, can I ask how much do you get paid for that? No, you don't need to tell me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. That's none of my business. How has, though, speaking of questions I shouldn't ask, how has business been, though, financially? Has it been going up every year? Has revenue been going up? Have profits been going up?
Like I said, doing that budget, like trying to have that profit in there, it's helped, you know. Like last year, I remember just struggling so much. Like, how am I going to get this paid? You know, because material, I mean, all that stuff, you got to mostly pay up front. You know, pieces of equipment, all that stuff. I mean, the repairs, stuff has to, you know, get repaired and stuff. What was the question?
How have your finances been over the past few years? Profitable? Has revenue gone up? Has profit gone up?
It's gone up. I mean, like, just, I'll just say, like, my first year in total was like 20 grand. And to me,
revenue.
I thought that was a lot. And now, I mean, I'm getting closer to my goal. And every year we're hoping to be able to, you know, like, if you want to hire people, you got to have that money there. And that's where everybody's been part-time for us, because we're not up to that point. But at some point we want to, you know, be able to do all that, you know, take care of, you know, anybody. And so we've been able to keep a good amount in bank, you know, from the most part, you know, trying, you know, some weeks you could have, you know, a lot of it, and then the next week you have all these bills and it goes down to half, almost to nothing. I mean, it's a struggle, but
so that first year you said you had 20. Was that 20 just revenue? That's how many bills got paid to you? Or after you subtracted all your expenses, you know, the mowers, et cetera, maybe there weren't that many expenses.
There was not
so
as
it was
much.
Nearly 20,000 straight up profit then.
No, I mean, like, that was just, you know, what we made in the year. I can't remember. Like, it's just, I don't know as much, you know, for, you know, once it's tax season, you know, I let the accountant and then she just lets me know, you know, on that. But there's always bills to pay. I mean, the entrepreneurship can show a lot of good, but it also has, you know, it's downs too.
Oh my gosh, dude, you take all the win and you take all the loss. There's absolutely no one else to blame. And managing, I mean, look, I am too an entrepreneur. We're two Mexican guys from Fairbury, Illinois, young guys, entrepreneurs. We should team up, man. No, but, no, that's why it's so cool doing this episode with you. But no, I mean, my first year in business as just a podcast, before I was even making commercials, it was a net loss. I went to the tax lady and she's like, oh, well, you don't have to pay anything. You had a net loss. I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. And then finally, you know, this last year, I actually had to pay some stuff, which is, it sucks, but at the same time, it means that you're in business. You're profitable, and that's a great thing. Yep. So, no, taxes are interesting. And then finances are a whole other thing of business. There's a lot to manage. But if you're doing something that you love, that you're good at, that's meaningful to people, the value of that, the beauty in that, outweighs the stress and the work required to actually run the business. And it becomes worth it. And it becomes an enjoyable thing, something that gives you life, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you say that Gomez Lawn Care gives you life? Does it fire you up a little bit?
I'd say so. You know, up to an extent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the worst part of it?
Like in the business or
just running Gomez Lawn Care?
You know, keeping people happy. You know, like I said, the communication for us has something that we're trying to work on, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, lie about it. You know, you being the owner, you having the phone, you know, it's really hard. So just trying to, and also dealing with like customers, as of like the neighbors. People you just don't serve, you know. Trying to keep people happy is the biggest thing that we've been trying to, you know, strive on, you know, because, you know, if somebody's upset, you know, it can go downhill, you know. But we try to take care of, you know, a mistake that we did on a job or something like that.
What do you said something about the neighbors? Do they sometimes get mad at you? Like, hey, it's
we've had a couple issues, just, you know, with like cleanups or something, or, you know, don't do this. All right, you know, like just don't go past this, you know, this, you know, don't go past my yard or something. Some, you know, little stuff for us that we see is little, but to them it can be, you know, a big deal. And, you know, we've had where we've shown our people how to run the equipment and just forget to, you know, put the kite up.
So then, the kite.
For the mower, how tall to go and stuff. And, you know, we've had a couple places where, you know, the first one, you know, was not a good cut. And I've had that happen to myself, you know. And it's, you know, and that not everything is going to be perfect. We're all human. And that's, you know, that's what it comes down to. You know, you're not as perfect, and mistakes happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably stressful too to hand over the reins to someone else and say, hey, I'm trusting you to go take care of this yard. Yes. I'm the yard master, the lawn master, but I'm going to let you do this in my name.
Yeah.
And I hope this isn't bad for business. Have you ever made like a big mistake on one of your jobs before? Like, I don't know, maybe ran over a cable or something, mowed straight through a cable.
We've had instances like from hedge trimming where, we've clipped, you know, the hedge trimmer, you know, you get too close to the house and stuff, but the bushes are really overgrown. Just cut, you know, like the DirecTV line or something. I've had where I've had it way too short than I was supposed to mow it. But, you know, you don't just stop it. You just, I mean, grass grows. Mm-hmm. That's one thing too. Grass will grow. So if you scalp it once, just let it grow. So it's, you know. I haven't broken a window before, not yet. I don't think I have, but, you know, stuff like that happens.
Did you say you have cut a DirecTV line before?
Yes, I have. Well, not with the mower, but with the trimmer and clippers, right. Yes.
What was your reaction to that? Well, you're just like, oh, crap.
Well, you know, you gotta let the customers know. Mm-hmm. We've had where myself, the mower wheel slipped, hit the fence. We repaired that fence, you know, that couple panels that, you know, broke, because I mean, for us, I'd rather keep that customer happy than I didn't tell them, and then, you know, now they find out, and, you know, and some things might have happened that, you know, I didn't realize happened, you know, that the guys missed or something like that. Mm-hmm. As of like when we mow the yard, we have somebody string trimming, somebody mowing, and then at the end blowing. So that's kind of where we kind of see the whole, just that we're good to go to the next yard and stuff like that. So
Mark Cuban is a billionaire entrepreneur who's on Shark Tank, and he's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And one of his biggest pieces of advice is for entrepreneurs such as yourself is, if you're going into business, you should know more about the business than anyone else. Would you consider yourself a lawn expert?
To an extent, you know, like I take pride in my stuff, but I always, you know, being on social media helps me look at what, you know, the other guys are doing, the bigger guys, like the YouTubers, the guys that do the lawn stuff, those guys I've been looking up to. So up to an extent, I'm an expert, you know, to what I do, you know, with my yards and stuff like that. But overall, I mean, I'm always trying to learn, trying to get licensed and stuff for certain things. That's another thing that we're looking into, getting into different avenues in the business also. So we got to be researching. Like during the winter, I'm trying to research as much as I can to make something work for the next year.
For the dads out there who are watching this, the lawn connoisseurs, I guess.
Yeah.
How do you make your lawn look better? What's something that people aren't doing that they could do that would make a world of difference? To maybe make their grass greener, maybe to make their streaks look a lot better. How do you get those diagonal lines straight? I don't know how you do it.
Just be patient with it. Mow at the same consistent height. If you're just trying to get the yard done, you know, just to make it done, that's like for us, we don't like doing that. Like every week we're coming and mowing, and if this yard is like 4, maybe 6 inches, we always adjust the height. Just taking the time, and actually we do not fertilize any of our lawns. And somehow, like I've been noticing this, especially with all this rain and stuff, with the last month that we've had, our yards are the greenest ones around, like with the neighbor and stuff. So besides that, there's not much that we really do on our part than just come and mow and, like I said, take our time. So,
right. What about weeds? How do you manage weeds, and how could I in my lawn?
You could fertilize. I mean, I try to, I don't do any of the fertilizing on my stuff. So everybody else, like the customers, they'll get somebody else hired out to, you know, fertilize and stuff. But it's, weeds are temporary too. You know, dandelions and stuff. I mean, it's kind of weird how I've been really allergic to like all this stuff, and it's been a struggle, you know, during, you know, the spring when all that stuff just emerges. So it comes and goes. The weeds come and go, and as long as you're cutting at the same height, I mean, for us, we don't really notice it as much.
So cut at the same height. Why does that matter?
I see it as you're taming the grass, I would say. I mean, I don't research as much, you know, for that part, but I just know that if you're coming in and, you know, scalping it every single time, well, that's why it kind of looks a lot different than if you're mowing it at the same, you know, height next right. week and every week. And so
taming the grass, I like that. It makes sense in my head. Yeah. I mean, sure, there's probably some scientific explanation to why that actually works well, but as far as I'm concerned, taming the grass is a good way to think of it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Is there competition in our area, in Fairbury Forest, Chenoa? Is there competition with what you do?
Yeah, there is. You'd be surprised. I mean, there's, I'd say, 3-4 guys that are bigger than us. And the thing is, people, as the generations go, I mean, these guys that have been in the, like, what I know, like Bloomington, some of these guys have been in here for like 40 years. I mean, you got to have another business pop up somewhere. And that's kind of where there's, you know, like I said, some of these projects the big guys don't want to do, but we can do. You know, it's something that we might not be, you know, as much of an expert on, but we always like let them know, the customer know, you know, this is the first time doing, you know, a retaining wall. You know, so we'll research on our end, you know, to do it as best as we can. And also, so we lay that out that, you know, there's some stuff that we haven't done yet. And for that reason, we haven't done yet. And I haven't invested that time to like go out on to like training for like a week or something for like landscaping yet. So there is investments that, you know, we're holding off on that, you know, that will still bring avenues and, you know, stuff like that to our business.
So are there lawn care businesses in Forest, Fairbury, Chenoa, in that area?
Yeah.
Can you name them? Or would that be a not good idea?
I don't know. I mean,
maybe we could spark a little conversation for everyone who's watching this from Fairbury, Chenoa, and Forest.
Who
do you think's the best? Leave your answer in the comments, maybe.
I think everybody, you know, everybody's good up to their customers, you know. That's why they're their customers. They're so loyal to them. You know, like PDK, he's been in there for the longest time, as what I know. I look up to, you know, what he's doing, not in a bad way, but, you know, I always look at why are some guys like Pheasant Ridge, F&R Lawn Care, you know, why they keep some of the older equipment. But, you know, they've figured that way. And, I mean, everybody will go through a cycle of people, too. That's what I've noticed. Like Big B's, I think the guy that runs it, Andy Brogard.
Brogard, okay.
He's the one that just, I think, as far as what I see, it's mostly him. I mean, he probably doesn't have, you know, as much of it on his plate that he can just manage it himself, you know, which works out. Like Honegger Lawn Care. He's
fucked
out.
Man, Sam Honegger.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Oh, Sam, if you watch this, look, people know about you.
Yes, yes.
Wow. So, what were you saying about him?
I mean, it's just awesome that, you know, under me, just being like one of the companies that, and I know that people still don't know who we are, you know, my cousins, people confuse my cousins that they run it, or that my uncle, one of my
dude,
uncles run it.
I've worn the sweatshirt at Dave's. I've had probably more than 10 people say, oh, you're the Gomez Lawn Care guy. I'm like, no, it's not me. Yeah. Just another brown guy, yeah. Another handsome young brown guy.
We've actually had, this year, my dad's helped me out more. Mm. And like for payments and stuff, or somebody, you know, asking, they've gone up to my dad first. And he's like, no, that's the guy that's back there. And they're like, really? And so, you know, they don't know really until once we get out to the job site and stuff. So, mm-hmm. But.
Do you think being young has kind of hindered your growth a little bit? People are like, you're the guy?
Well, I mean, keeping the beard has really helped, you know, be more mature. And I've had to grow up a little bit quicker. I mean, you got to grow a little quicker when you're running a business. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, not care what people. You know, you got to care. And, you know, people ask me all the time, like, how old are you? You know, and some people think I'm like 25. No, like last, you know, before my birthday, I was only 19, you know, and it's a young age, but I, you know, the years keep passing by. So I think it's a good thing. Being young, being old, you can always start a business at any age. Or yeah. Go to school at any age.
You come to the table, literally this table, with the wisdom of what seems to be a 35-year-old, a 40-year-old. Maybe you should color your hair blonde or not blonde. When I talk about blonde, white, gray.
I don't want to go there that, you know, yet.
No, you don't think so?
Not yet.
But. No, okay. As we get towards the end of this conversation, it's really been enlightening. You're really doing amazing things, and you're trending upwards. Maybe we should also say those businesses that you mentioned, just so they don't think you're trashing them or anything. They're good businesses owned by good guys, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I know some of them very personally and great people. Yes, great people. That have you heard of the immigrant mindset that for some reason, a variety of reasons, families of immigrants seem to come to the United States and have a profound work ethic, and the immigrant children tend to do pretty well a lot of the time. Have you heard of that? And do you think that's true and has anything to do with your story?
I think so. Just coming for, you know, knowing that your parents are coming for a better cause. And like both my parents, they never finished high school, you know, or got, you know, a diploma. So that's, you know, like for me, what I told my parents, I'll finish up high school, but I'm not, you know, I don't know if I'm going to college. You know, and they really wanted me to go to college. They were pushing for me to go to college. I took a different journey. Now, you know, it's this country has shown a lot to me, you know, being here like all these 19 years, you know, and you can do whatever you want, you know, if you put your mind to it. And just, you know, I'm proud to have, a last name from a, you know, foreign country, you know, as a lawn care company. It's just worked out, you know, for me. And I know everybody has a different story, you know, as of like where they came from and stuff. And so, yeah.
It is real.
Yes, yes.
And you think that your parents coming from a different country and having that last name does something for your drive.
Yep, yes.
Very interesting. Yes. All right, last question here. Gomez Lawn Care, pick three words, just to describe what you think the culture of Gomez Lawn Care is, what Gomez Lawn Care is all about. Three words, no more, no less. They can be hyphenated.
High quality satisfaction.
There we go. All right. Nice. Oh, that was a perfect slogan. I set myself up for that one. But Luis Gomez, hey, thank you so much for having a great lawn care business, inspiring kids, inspiring me even, and for coming on to my show and telling me your story. I truly appreciate it. You're a good man with a really, really bright future. Only 20 years old, my goodness.
Appreciate it.
Of course. And thank you everyone for watching and listening to The Paul Garcia Show. If you enjoyed this episode, give it a like, give it a share, and leave a comment. What do you think, Luis? Good guy? Or what do you think, you know? Let me know. And until next Sunday, God bless and have a great week.